कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा साधु गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Everybody please say loudly, loudly, loudly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, try again. This time loudly. I've got a microphone.
You don't, so you have to chant more loudly.
Everybody together. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
All glories to Lord Sri Krishna, who has incarnated in the form of His holy name in Zagreb, Croatia. Drinking water. So it's very nice to see how so many people are taking part in this Krishna consciousness movement here. It's very pleasing to see because human life is meant for this. We have information from the Vedic literatures that there are 8,400,000 species of life. And seeing as it is not within our power to go all over the universe counting different species of life, we simply accept the Vedic version. So of all these species, the human species is most important. This human life is a chance to understand God. But mostly people are wasting this chance. In so many different ways, they are passing their lives. There are many, many different things that have been invented in modern society. Different kinds of sports and entertainments. You can go all the way to Czechoslovakia to see the Rolling Stones, for instance. So these are examples of how to waste our valuable human form of life. So many different ways they've invented. Entertainment. Now, Chinna, what does that mean? Waste of time.
Ways of waste.
I thought maybe it was entertainment because nachna means dancing in Hindi Sanskrit. So there are that also. They've invented ballroom dance, disco dance, boogie dance, break dance, so many kinds of dances.
What was the squatly?
It's already in your language. See how popular it is. All these enjoyable things. So we're not against dancing. Our Hare Krishna movement is promoting dancing. Everyone should dance. Because the ultimate spiritual reality is to dance eternally. But not ballroom dancing. Not disco dancing. But dancing with Krishna. The people, they don't know this, therefore they're spoiling their human life. They think, if I can get a nice home, a nice job, enough money, heating for my house, and a nice dog, then my life is successful. I see one thing very popular in this country. People like to drink beer walking around on the street. This is a misuse of the human form of life. Human life is meant for understanding God. This is the opportunity. If we don't take this opportunity, then simply mrityu samsara vartmani. Back we have to go into 8,400,000 species of life. So why not take this opportunity seriously? Krishna consciousness movement is giving everything to satisfy us in every respect. Even if we take it as entertainment, it's very good entertainment. You get nice dancing. You don't have to go all the way to Czechoslovakia to see the Rolling Stones. You can do here without having to pay a huge amount of money for the ticket. And nice food, nice association. Devotees are very good people. They don't eat meat, they don't drink wine, they don't engage in illicit sex, none of these bad activities. So even if we take it superficially, Krishna consciousness is very nice. But then if we see, what is Krishna consciousness teaching? Krishna consciousness is teaching us that which is of eternal value. The message is very deep and grave. The message they're teaching, Bhagavad Gita, that we are not these bodies. These bodies are temporary. Therefore, there is no use to decorate these bodies in different ways, with different kinds of fashions and hairstyles and high-heeled shoes and low-heeled shoes and no-heeled shoes and so many different kinds of shoes, just fashion. So no need to waste our energy in decorating the body in different ways. but better try to understand who is God and what is our relationship with Him. That will make us happy. Even if we make 200 pilgrimages to see the rolling stones, that won't make us happy. That is simply an agitation for the mind. But Krishna conscious dancing, that is pacification for the mind. Because this dancing, this comes from the soul. So Krishna consciousness is teaching us how to understand who we are, who is God, and how to get free from birth and death. So our request is, why not take this very seriously? Now I think, of course, many of you are taking this very seriously. Seriously means we should take some decision what to do with our lives. Most people, they just live their lives without thinking what they are doing or why they are doing what they are doing. They're born, they grow up, they go to school, they get some job, they get married or not married and have children, and like this, they grow old and they die. But why they're doing what they're doing, they never think. If we ask the man who's walking on the street with a bottle of beer, that why are you walking down the street drinking a bottle of beer, he'll say, well, everybody does that. Completely normal. So that's true, it's normal. But that doesn't explain why you should do it. Why don't you think, what is the result of doing this? That's already too much philosophy for the average person in the street. Because people's minds are so dull. By watching television, they can become completely dull. Instead of using their human intelligence to think about the purpose of life, simply they turn on the TV and whatever's on, they simply sit and watch. And if we present the most important question, they simply cannot relate to it at all. If we ask people, well, sir, it's very nice that you're living at home with your wife and family and children and TV and dog, but what happens after death? And they can't think at all. They think the question's not even important. It's so dull-brained. What happens after death? Well, they take you away and burn your body. That's all right, but what happens to you? Don't know. Finished. Why should we bother? We're here now. This means extremely dull, like an animal, exactly. So, someone who is serious about human life, they should not be dull, like a vegetable. We should think, what are we doing with our lives? How long are we going to live in these bodies? There is no guarantee. Generally, we are thinking, well, I'll probably live to be 65, 70, 80. There's no guarantee. Any time death may come. But let's say, for instance, that you have some knowledge that you're going to live to be 90 years old. So think how old you are now. Some people here are about 20 years old, some 30, some 40. That means you have, if you're going to live to 90, let's just say, you have a few years left. But it's not much time. If say you think, well, maybe I'll live for 30 years more, of which there is no guarantee anyway, it's not much time. So we should not be dull like vegetables or stones. We should think. Think. That's the purpose of human life. We've got this human body, so we can consider what is the purpose of life, how to use it properly. So we should think, what is going to happen in the future? What happens after death? What will be the result of the activities that I'm performing now? So, to understand all these things, of course, we can't simply understand just by ourselves. Therefore, we have Vedic literatures, scriptures, and spiritual masters to guide us. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, we get immediately the proper instruction. In the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we get more important instruction than you'll get in all the libraries and universities in the world. You bring all the big libraries, so many big books. And you bring all the big professors, Nobel Prize winners, PhDs. And you consult all these, asking the question that, what is life and what happens at death? Now mostly people don't even ask this question. What to speak of the man on the street drinking his beer, even the big so-called professors, they also don't ask this question. So for all their big brains making computers and space rockets, they're also extremely dull-headed. Intelligent, they are, that we accept. Otherwise, how could they make all these different things, airplanes and cars and so many things? but it's intelligence applied in the wrong direction. They're not even asking the question, what is the purpose of life? What happens at death? So you bring all their big, big books. You might be able to find out how to make an atom bomb or how to make an integrated circuit for a supercomputer. But what is the meaning of life? You won't get any clue. Or even if they have some idea, it's just complete speculation based upon their ignorant mental concoctions. But from Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he gives us immediately the proper knowledge. He can give us proper knowledge because he's God, he knows everything. And all the intelligence of all the people in the world put together cannot even slightly compare to that of Krishna's. So in one verse of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives us more proper knowledge than the whole of the misguided human society put together. That verse is there, Dehinosvin yatha dehe kaumarang yovanam jara tatha dehantara praptihi dhiras tatra nabhuhyati. You can explain. And Krishna goes on to explain this more in the Gita. Udkramantam stitam vapi bhunjanam vagunanvitam vimurha ananupashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshusha. Krishna says that everyone is changing bodies and getting different kind of bodies according to our desires and karma. But foolish people, they cannot see this. But who can see? Those who have the eyes of knowledge. So that knowledge, tadvijnanartham sagurum ivabhigachet. For that knowledge, one should approach a self-realized soul. So everyone should consider, what am I doing with my life? Am I simply passing out my days waiting to go into the body of a hog or a dog or a camel? Or am I preparing myself to go to dance with Krishna? This human form of life means we can get free from the cycle of birth and death. We can go to live with Krishna in the spiritual world. That will perfectly satisfy us in all respects. The happiness that we're looking for in ballroom dancing, disco dancing, eating all different kinds of things, that happiness, the real happiness we're looking for, is in Krishna. We're trying to be happy in so many different ways, by sex, by sports, by eating all kinds of different foods, but we're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Real happiness means to know God, Krishna, and to live with Him eternally. So everyone should think, everyone should be serious, everyone should be intelligent. What am I doing with my life? One time, in the very early days of the Krishna Conscious Movement, Srila Prabhupada, he was invited, he said, you go to one place, there's many people there who are interested in Krishna Consciousness. So when he arrived, he found it was a nudist camp. But anyway, Prabhupada heard that many people are chanting Hare Krishna, so he decided to go there and preach anyway. So he saw one man, he was doing the gardening with no clothes on, of course, because it's a nudist. So Prabhupada said to him, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm gardening. Prabhupada said, what are you doing with your life? That he had no thought. Prabhupada, he saw this person is supposed to be living with Krishna in the spiritual world. But now he's become so degraded. So we should not become degraded. Become elevated. Don't be deluded by this materialistic society. Now your country is being opened up to the wonderful pleasures that are offered by the modern society, such as McDonald's hamburgers. I'm sure you've got them here because they've got them everywhere. McDonald's, Pepsi, Coke, they're always the first things to come. It's just, even from the point of view of food, it's complete garbage. So that will come, I don't know about here, but in Budapest I saw another sign of modernization, so many striptease bars. Now you have the freedom to go to Czechoslovakia to see the Rolling Stones. This whole materialistic civilization is offering, you will get very happy by McDonald's and Coke and Rolling Stones and striptease bars. It's not true, it's a lie. They're simply cheating. They make big, big advertisements. Coca-Cola. What is it? It's just some nonsense drink. Just some water with some sugar and color and gas. You can drink 200 liters of Coke. It won't make you happy. Or you eat 500 McDonald's hamburgers. You'll simply get an operation for a bloated stomach. There's no happiness in these things. Rather, there is degradation. I don't know why the whole world is so anxious to follow America. You see all Eastern Europe and India and everywhere, even Thailand and Vietnam, they all want to follow America. They all want to wear Levi jeans and some t-shirt, San Francisco, California. Although the t-shirt's actually made in Thailand because it's cheaper to make them. So they're so anxious to follow this, but what is the result? If you look at America, it's completely sick, sick, sick society. Where I was seeing one Newsweek magazine while I was waiting in the dentist recently. So the main report was that the major social problem facing America today means they have so many social problems, but the biggest social problem is child crime. And they're not talking about a young boy walking into the shop and stealing a few sweets. They're talking about murder, rape, gangs of 13-year-olds with submachine guns. It's not. You may laugh, but it's not very funny. This is what you're importing into your society. With the McDonald's hamburgers and the Coke and the Rolling Stones comes a whole culture of degradation. It's a whole, the whole atmosphere is one simply enjoy the senses, go to hell. So our request is, of course this we could make a very big story, but just to make it brief, our request is don't be fooled. McDonald's hamburgers, Coca-Cola, Rolling Stones, they can all flourish because people are fools. Because people are not thinking what is the purpose of life. So we're asking you, don't just be carried away by the waves of materialistic propaganda. Think what you're doing with your life. Now you have the opportunity to take part in this Krishna conscious movement. This Krishna conscious movement means Tyagva Deham Punarjanmana Mameti Sojana, means going back home, back to Godhead, to live with Krishna, never to return to this material world. So why not take this opportunity? Why not take Krishna consciousness very seriously? It's not very difficult. All you have to do, to start with at least, is to use your tongue. Two things, chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasad. There's no difficulty to do either of these things. Especially there's no difficulty to take prasad. So even if you can't chant Hare Krishna, take prasad. But better chant Hare Krishna also. And better take all of Prabhupada's books home with you. And better, in your home, chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna. And if you like, those of you who are in a position to do so, you can come and join us and help us spread this movement. There is so much important work to do all over the world. Many, many people are interested in Krishna consciousness. But we need many, many devotees to go and preach to them and teach them about Krishna. So our request is, at least in your own life, take this Krishna consciousness very seriously. Don't take it something like a hobby. Just like you go to church once a week and then you forget it till next week. Krishna consciousness means always thinking of Krishna. So take this seriously. Chant Hare Krishna. Follow these principles. Study Prabhupada's books. Take this opportunity to make this the last birth in this horrible material world. This is our request. Hare Krishna. What is help for human beings?
May I translate the question?
Yeah, one who does something to help human beings, that is certainly good. But we should know what help means. Unless we help others to get free from birth and death, ultimately that is no help at all. If we live our life with all modern amenities, but still we die and become a dog, ultimately that is no help to us. So, such a person who is making things for use in human society, they may be called a karmi. But a karma yogi is one who does his work in the service of Krishna. That is defined by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yat chahoshi tadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Krishna says, Everything you do, everything you eat, everything you offer and give away in charity, all austerities that you perform should be done as an offering to me. And for others, even though they may be very highly elevated in the opinion of human society, if they don't surrender to Krishna, Krishna has another verse for them. Krishna says, Namam duskrutino mudha prapadyante naradhama maya aparita jnana asurang bhavamashita. Krishna says that those who do not surrender to me, although they may be very meritorious in other ways, they are called duskriti, means they are doing many activities, but they are all in the wrong direction. Krishna analyzes four different kinds of such people. He says one is mudha.
Huh?
Mudha means he is working very hard, but he doesn't know what the proper goal of life is. So for all his work, he's working, but he hasn't cultivated any spiritual knowledge, so at the end of life, he simply has to enter into the animal species. And similar to that is the Naradhama, which means the lowest among mankind, which means he's very interested in all kinds of social and scientific activities, but he has no interest in understanding God. Therefore, he spoils his human life. Then, Maya Aparita Jnana means someone who's very intelligent, but they don't consider what is the purpose of life, who is God, and how. Even thinking what is the purpose of life and what happens after death. So they're very busy studying different things, but all these things are superficial to the real purpose of human life. Misused intelligence. Or rather, their real intelligence is covered by the illusory energy of Krishna called Maya. And another is called Asurang Bhavamashita, means they are completely against the idea of God or surrendering to Him. Now, of course, we're living in the modern scientific age and times are very different to what they used to be. In terms of real human benefit, we don't see that there's been any great progress or advancement by so much scientific development. But the people were living before and they're living now. And although we have many facilities, just like this microphone we're using in Krishna's service, of course, even without the microphone, the preaching of Krishna consciousness would go on. It's not that it would stop without it. But for all the material facilities, at what cost? There are so many problems caused by pollution, imbalance in the ecosystem, this unnatural city way of life, industrial way of life has spawned innumerable social problems, and people are more blind to the real purpose of life than at any other time in human history. So practically we don't see any great benefit at the most essential level in all the so-called development of human society. So we should not mix up the two words karmi and karma yogi. This is a very common misconception in India, where someone has made this slogan that manava seva is madhava seva, service to man is service to God. This is a made up idea which has got nothing to do with the scriptures. It's not that making factories is the same as worshipping God. Opening factories is karma. Worshipping God is karma yoga or bhakti yoga. So these things should be understood carefully from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Is there another question?
Yes.
Is there unbreakable proof for reincarnation, and how many transmigrations are needed to human form, that one comes to human form?
Who has asked this question, please? What would you consider to be unbreakable proof?
Don't know. Nezna.
Is there unbreakable proof for anything? Just like we consider that science is giving us unbreakable proof of so many things. But so many times we find that even what are considered unbreakable theories in science, they're proved all wrong. Just like for so many years, science was based on Newtonian laws of physics. But then when Einstein came up with his relativity theory, Newtonian physics was thrown in the dustbin. And everyone became confused, because it's very difficult to understand relativity theory. Then quantum theory was developed and everyone became more confused, because quantum theory doesn't appear to have any relationship to the world as we see it. So in the basic science books we study at school, it said that this is proved, and this is proved. But at the top of science, the big, big brains who are studying quantum theory, they say that, according to science, we can't prove anything, because in quantum theory, anything can happen. And another thing that is, recently they discovered in science, that there is one chemical which goes against all the laws of physics. What is that chemical? It's dihydrogen oxide. Dihydrogen oxide means H2O, water. After studying so many years, they found that, according to the laws of physics, if you put water at the top of a pipe, it shouldn't flow down, according to their laws. So now they've invented something to explain why water flows down a pipe. It's called the law of confusion. Of course, confusion means it's not a law at all. It just goes to show that all the scientists are confused, that's all. So anyway, when we say unbreakable proof, that means that there has to be some level of faith. You have to accept what someone says, or you have to accept something which you see yourself. Just like you see the sun in the sky, how far away is the sun? Scientists say it's 93 million miles away. So can you understand that just by seeing it in the sky? Obviously not. But we accept the sun is 93 million miles away by scientific inquiry. So similarly, in understanding any subtle subject matter, we may not be able to make all the experiments ourselves, but we have to follow what is told by authorities. And as I was saying, mostly all the big, big brains in this world, they don't even ask this question, which is an indirect acceptance of the fact that the answering of such a question is beyond their powers. Recently I was reading a book which was a series of interviews with 90 of the top scientists in the world. And one of the questions they were asked was, what do you think the relationship between religion and science should be? Most of the scientists answered that religion covers areas of knowledge which science cannot touch. They said that science can give answers about the physical nature of this world, but as far as life after death and God is concerned, religion has to answer that, science cannot. So as far as knowledge of life after death is concerned, we can't do any experiment. If you like, you can do an experiment. You can shoot yourself in the head and see what happens. We don't recommend this. We recommend better take knowledge from those who know. As far as all the authorities of spiritual knowledge are concerned, they all say that after the demise of the body, the soul continues to exist. And even if we consider with our tiny brains, we can understand that this is quite reasonable to accept. As that verse from Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna was explaining, that the body is always changing. This body, when it was 5 years old, it was different to this body now. At the age of 5, at the age of 20, at the age of 30, the body is changing all the time. The mind is also changing all the time. So what is staying the same? Just like if my mother saw me, and my mother, she saw me when I was on her lap, sucking her breast milk. And when she saw me at the age of 20, she recognized, this is my son. So who is she recognizing? It's not the body, because the body has changed. And the mind has changed, but the person stays the same. So we can see that the body and the mind are changing, but the person is the constant factor. And Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that that person is the soul. This body is temporary, but the soul is the constant feature. So Krishna explains that this body, that changing, 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 the last change is death, but the soul continues to exist. That's a very common example we can all understand also. That when someone dies, we say, he has gone away. Then who has gone away? The body is still there. Why should you cry? Oh, my father has died. No, your father is there. They'll say, no, no, he's gone away. In every language of the world, this is said. Every language, he has gone away. Death means he's gone away. It's not simply an idiom. In every language it is said. So that means that we recognize that the soul has left the body, that's all. What happens after that? Like I say, you can't bring a microscope or a telescope. The soul is too subtle to be seen by such things. What to speak of the soul, even subatomic particles, they cannot be seen by any microscope. Therefore, to understand what happens to the soul after it leaves the body, we have to accept the experts, the spiritual authorities. They are all highly advanced persons, they all agree on the same point. Therefore, if we are interested to understand this knowledge, we simply accept that soul. Is there any other question?
Considering that you are living in India, could you tell us how the average Indian takes Sai Baba?
To say average Indian is a very difficult thing to say. India is a very cosmopolitan, it's a very broad society. Actually, we're not interested in Sai Baba, we're interested in Krishna. But as people ask us this question, somehow or other they think Sai Baba has some connection with Krishna. I suppose we should answer it.
Go on.
Most people don't care about him at all. Nowadays, so many Indians, they have no particular religious affiliation anyway. And those who do, they worship some particular god according to their some imagination, or they have some local idea of God or whatever. Practically, the religious situation in India is very confused. So those who are followers of Sai Baba, naturally, they think he's very good. There are many people who don't like him at all. About 2 years ago, I was giving a lecture in a postgraduate hostel in a university in Hyderabad in South India, from the state which he comes from. So at the end of the lecture, one of the students asked me, "What do you think of Sai Baba?" So I replied that, actually, I don't think of Sai Baba, I think of Krishna. But considering that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from him emanate millions and billions of universes just by his wish, and someone is producing a few ashes, and he calls himself God. Therefore, he's a great cheater. And anyone who follows him is a fool and a rascal. So I wasn't sure what they were going to do, whether they're going to shoot me or not. Of course, I gave a longer explanation, about 20 minutes. But they didn't shoot me, they all stood up and gave me standing ovation for 5 minutes. You may be interested to know that about 1 year ago, or maybe 2 years ago, there was an attempted assassination on the so-called Sai Baba. At his so-called ashram, two people came in the night with guns or knives or something. So the guards were there, and one of the guards got killed. And Sai Baba saw there was something going on, so he went inside the room, locked the door, and rang the alarm bell. So what kind of God is that? That he has to have a locked door and an alarm bell to protect him. So actually this was very embarrassing for him. And after this, his PR department, they started changing the propaganda. It came in the newspaper that they had some secret meeting. They decided not to present him as God anymore, but as a great welfare worker. Actually, there's one story. I don't like Sai Baba, but I don't like that people, they should say he is God. It makes me, actually I want to vomit when I hear this. It's most disgusting thing. If you say he's a yogi, a sadhu, even then, you may not accept, but to say he's God is most disgusting. Anyway, there's one very famous magician in Bengal. His name is P.C. Sharka.
Yes.
So he wrote a letter once to Sai Baba saying, "I'm P.C. Sharka, I'm the famous magician, I would like to meet you." So he got a letter back, "Sorry, Baba's very busy, no time." Then he wrote another letter, "Dear Baba, I worship your lotus feet, I'm your great devotee, I'm a big businessman, I want to give you a big donation." So he got a telegram, "Please come immediately." So he went down to see Baba. Then he was invited in for darshan. So Baba said, "Oh, you're from Bengal. You must like to eat rasgulla." Rasgulla is one kind of milk sweet. So he went, just put his hand in the air, close, and boom, brought one pot of rasgulla. So P.C. Sharka took it, said, "Thank you very much." He started to eat one. He said, "Actually, these rasgullas are not very good." So he put them down, put his hand in the air, said, "Here, try these." He said, I'm from Bengal, I know what rasgullas are. Here are fresh ones from the best sweet shop in Calcutta. So Sai Baba didn't know what to say. But Pishi Sharka did. He said, I'm a magician, you're a magician. The difference is that I say I'm a magician and you say you are God, you rascal. Why Sai Baba? There are so many people claiming to be God in India. I heard recently in Ukraine there's a new incarnation of God also. We should know who is God. If you don't know, I'll tell you. Krishna will save you a lot of problems. We should not be cheated by all these false people. This may be unpalatable for you to hear.
Jewish.
But if you can accept it, it will be very good instruction for your life. Because if we follow these false leaders, then our future will be very, very unpalatable. So better to digest these words, which may not seem very nice to you, than have to go for the Yama Yatana, means appointment with Yamaraj. Any other question? If you want more information, how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else is, then you should read Bhagavad Gita as it is. Read it front to back at least 5 times and chant Hare Krishna, and you'll understand everything and you won't have to ask these questions. Then one question here. Again, so many different things. If you, then you'll say Chinmay and this yogi and another Swami and another incarnation. Yeah, if you say one name, you first said Sai Baba, then you'll say Chinmay, then you'll say there's another yogi and another Swami and a guru and this. You can go on all night. Why don't we just take Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How did Chinmay, the so-called Chinmay means full of spiritual bliss, but that's just his name. He's not actually... So, how did he become famous? By speaking on Bhagavad Gita. But unfortunately, he misrepresented Bhagavad Gita. Because Gita means surrender to Krishna. Bhagavad Gita means which is spoken by God, Krishna. And the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna. But he had no interest in Krishna. He edited Krishna out of Bhagavad Gita. He used to say, Krishna is black. Black means unknown, so don't even try to understand Krishna. So he had to take Bhagavad Gita to become famous. He was using Krishna's book. So why not go for Krishna? Why not understand Krishna? Why not take Bhagavad Gita as it is? Otherwise you'll go, like I say, another Swami, another yogi, another guru. If you want to be cheated, there are millions of cheaters. They will represent, oh, this is something very nice, something mystical, whatever that means. In Krishna consciousness, we don't give anything so-called mystical. We just say, here is God, Krishna. No false advertisement. Who is actually God, he doesn't need false advertisement. Simply we are presenting, surrender to Krishna, your life will be successful. But if you want to take Bhagavad Gita as armchair philosophy, that's something else. You can do that and you will get the result which is predicted in Bhagavad Gita. Ashradadhana purushad dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamang nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. You'll simply have to go on in this material world, birth after birth after birth. Any other question? There's one question now.
Does Krishna appear anywhere else except India with all his entourage?
Certainly he does. Krishna is here in Zagreb. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally present. Anyway, Krishna is present. But he is particularly present in this when this chanting of Hare Krishna is going on. Kali Kale Nam Rupe Krishna Avatar. In this Kali Yuga, Lord Krishna has descended in the form of His holy name. There's no difference between Krishna and His name. So wherever this chanting is going on, Krishna is personally present. And where is Krishna? There is also all His entourage. As we chant more and more, that we can understand. Any other question? We have some prasadam from Vrindavan. This is Chandan, sandalwood pulp prasad. This
was
from Chandan Yatra, from Krishna Balaram. So yeah. This prasad is distributed not by eating, you can eat it also, but usually it's put on the farm. So now there's going to be prasadam distribution, so just at the same time, everyone can come, I'll give them some Chandan prasad. This is very cooling, so if you're feeling heated up due to the little bit strong lecture, then you have some Chandan.